Amen. I'm going to ask my son, Jordan, if he would go to my office and grab that black rag on my... I don't know if I'm going to need it. But it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. I'm going to try to talk about not by bread alone. Not by bread alone. On this first Sunday of Lent, we are introduced once again to this gripping story in Matthew's gospel of Jesus' 40-day fast and sojourn in the wilderness, where he faced and overcame three temptations. In this story, which is perfectly timed for Lent, we encounter a theology of fasting, repentance, and obedience, practices designed to prepare our hearts for Holy Week as we remember the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what these events mean for our lives as Christians. This story, which is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, acquaints us as followers of God with how life, or as the text says, how the tempter always show up to silence us, to knock us off course, to trip us up, and to lead us down the wrong path. In a real sense, this text is about deformed desire, or the ungodly enticement of a person by some bait, usually pride, greed, or fear, that causes us to operate in a way that is in defiance of God's mission and vision for the world, where everybody has the opportunity to thrive, flourish, and live freely. In fact, I believe that whenever we talk about this concept of sin, it should always be about broken relationships and deformed desires that causes us to live in ways that harm neighbor and leads to communal despair. Our text this morning, in a real sense, is tailored to teach us that in this life, listen, you will face some temptation. It doesn't matter how big your Bible is or how many apps you read it on. Neither does it matter how long you've been a Christian or how many ministries you lead or participate in. In this life and on this Christian journey, you will face some temptation. But at the same time, the good news of the text is that Jesus, whom the writer of Hebrews says was tempted in the same ways in which we were tempted, shows us how to handle temptation when it arrives. So as we look at this text, we see that Jesus is tempted three times. First, he's tempted to turn stones into loaves of bread. Then he's tempted to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple in an empty and vain trick so that he could wow the onlookers and the crowds. Then finally, he's tempted to be made king of the world as long as he switched his allegiance from God to Satan. And while it may not seem like it on the surface, all of us in one form or another will have to face similar temptations on this journey we call life. Listen, time does not permit me to delve deeply into all of these three temptations, so allow me to deal with the first one to remind us this morning that true living, that true success, that genuine happiness is never achieved by bread alone. In the text, the tempter shows up and says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Come on now, at first glance, you may be wondering, why was it wrong to turn stones into loaves of bread? I mean, after all, didn't Jesus later at a peasant wedding in Cana of Galilee turn water into wine? I mean, didn't he also later take two fish and five barley loaves of bread and stretched it such that it fed the multitude of the 5,000? Listen, scholars also point out that readers in this Matthew account in the Jewish community would have recognized the parallels between this story and that of Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3, which says this: "Remember the long way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep her commandments. She humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So what is the difference between these two stories? I'm glad you asked. In the first story, check it out, God is in charge. Listen, God, unprompted by anyone else, provides manna in a way that does not compromise the values of the people. In fact, the text says it clearly: "I did this for you to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." However, in Matthew's account, the request comes from Satan, the tempter, the evil one, who is incapable of operating in a way that's pure, honest, and just. So many scholars say, just based on who is making the request, you already know that something is not right. Listen, whenever Satan, who according to Genesis was the first snake or salesman, suggests anything, check it out, it always comes with ulterior and hidden motives. Come on now, you can clearly see it in the other two temptations in the story. Perform a magic trick and people will come and see you. Worship me and I will make you ruler over the world. And so likewise, this first temptation was not a call to do something noble, which is the reason that Jesus responds, "It is written, one cannot live by bread alone." But listen, before I unpack this story further, I need to stop right here because I see some of you looking at me strange. And it's probably because in 2020, in this age of postmodernity, in this highly technological and scientific age, it's odd to talk about the existence of a devil. Come on, I saw you thinking it. Some preachers have stopped talking about Satan altogether. Top seminaries are increasingly becoming more silent over the subject, except to dismiss or re-articulate it, and others are placing their attention elsewhere, all because we don't know what to do with this antiquated concept of the existence of a devil. Listen, some have even suggested that Satan is created by gullible people who need somebody to blame for their dysfunction. So in order to make us feel good about ourselves and our own dysfunction, we love to use that demonic trump card to take responsibility off ourselves so we can blurt out with Flip Wilson. Y'all remember Flip Wilson from the 70s sitcom who declared, "The devil made me do it." Listen, I know I shouldn't have done it, but the devil made me do it. I know I shouldn't have gone where I went, but the devil made me do it. I know I should not have behaved how I behaved, but the devil made me do it. So there are many who believe that there's no such thing as a devil and that Satan is a fictitious, mythological character perpetrated by gullible people. And listen, if you have any sense of enlightenment, you have any sense of reason and any sense of intellect, listen, you have no reason to believe in the existence of a devil. Listen, as a man of supposed enlightenment myself, I am in agreement with all of that. But listen, as I behold the horrors of the world, listen, if you don't like the concept of the devil, you got to give me a name, because clearly something is loose. Listen, wars and rumors of war, starvation, genocide, poverty, homelessness, child abuse, hatred, rape, violence, mayhem, cruelty, helplessness, heartlessness, pain, perplexity, systemic injustice, the poor getting poor, broken relationships, mass incarceration, poor lives don't matter, black lives don't matter, gay lives don't matter, trans lives don't matter. I tell you, you got to give me a name, because clearly something is loose. And so listen, when I speak of the devil, I'm not talking about an imp in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and a tricked out mustache. I'm talking about the forces of darkness and evil. I'm talking about the domination system. I'm talking about the powers of abuse and neglect. I'm talking about the powers of racism, classism, and oppression. Listen, when we think of the devil, we should think of deformed ideologies, systems, epistemologies, thought processes, and impulses that are contrary and antithetical to the economy of God's love, justice, and mercy. When I speak of the devil, I am referring to those devilish impulses and desires and drives and ideologies that compel us to tempt us to live in a way that's inconsistent with God's desire that all are saved. Ideologies, ideals, and impulses that cause us to dominate others, that cause us to try to control others, that cause us to oppress others and rule over others and limit the aspirations of others. Listen, somebody needs to give me a name, because something is loose. So what should we make of this temptation to turn stones into biscuits? I believe, judging by Jesus' response, that one cannot live by bread alone, that Jesus was being tempted to use his position as the Son of God to his own advantage. And isn't that the motivation behind all temptation? Serve yourself. Get yours by any means necessary. And listen, whenever we attempt to get anything, even if it's a good thing, by any means necessary, we turn that thing into an idol. At yesterday's conference in Virginia, Dr. James Ford said, listen, you don't ask God for power to do what you want. You ask God for power to do what God wants you to do. And that's the difference in the text. Satan had a different agenda from God. Satan's bread alone ideology was an ideology of selfishness, the ideology of expedience, the ideology of convenience. And listen, it is this bread alone ideology that has caused us to turn friendship into ambition, because instead of serving others, we are only looking out to serve ourselves. That's why it's so fashionable these days to talk about only hooking up with people who can hook you up. But that's an ideology of bread alone. But the ideology of God says, if I can help somebody as they travel along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody they are traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Listen, the ideology of bread alone is, instead of being motivated by love, we are motivated by fear. Instead of seeking wisdom, we seek possessions. Instead of working for peace, we work for security. So Jesus says one cannot live by bread alone. Listen, this request was about expedience. It was about the shortcut. It was about getting what you want by any means necessary. But listen, the text teaches us that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Listen, just because you can get something doesn't mean you should. Just because something looks good does not mean that it is good. Come on. The text reminds me that, listen, we can't get our way and we can't get what we want by any means necessary. I'm reminded of a story about a pharmacist. A lady walked into the pharmacy, and she went up to the pharmacist, and she said, listen, I'm trying to buy some cyanide. And the pharmacist said, "What? Why do you want some cyanide?" She said, "I want to poison my husband." And the pharmacist said, in disbelief, "You better get out of here. You must be crazy. I can't sell you any cyanide to poison your husband. I'll lose my license. I'll go to jail, and you'll go to jail. In fact, if you don't get out of here now, I'm going to call the police." And then the woman, she reached in her pocketbook, and she pulled out a picture of her husband with the pharmacist's wife. And the pharmacist looked at it. He said, "Oh, that's different. You didn't tell me you had a prescription." Come on now, we can't get what we want by any means necessary. But check it out. I see something else in the text. According to scholars, when Satan told Jesus to command these stones to become bread, he was dealing with an economic need, the need for food. And so this in a real sense was the sneak preview of Satan's economic plan. Again, to what? To get what you want, to get what you need, to succeed any way you can. How? By any means necessary. Listen, this was the economics of Satan, to turn your needs and the method by which you meet those needs into a sacrosanct idol. Come on now. In our country, capitalism itself has become such an idol that if you even mention the word socialism, you will be dismissed as a heretic. I'm preaching, y'all just don't like it. And now notice the context in which the temptation occurs. It occurs during extreme hunger. The text says that Jesus had fasted 40 days and afterwards was famished. Listen, extreme hunger has a way of making us lower our God. It has a way of making us vulnerable. It has a way of distorting our thinking, and it has a way of making us desperate. Extreme hunger can make us hear something that's obviously wrong, but because of our desperation, it will sound good. In America, if you're hungry for jobs and economic relief, because since the 1970s, income inequality has grown to absurd proportions. The middle class has shrunk. College is no longer affordable, and people are forced to work three jobs just to make ends meet. Under such circumstances, you become susceptible to false advertising. In our country, because people were desperate and hungry for economic relief, when they heard "Make America Great Again, Turn These Stones Into Bread," they jumped at the opportunity, despite, or in some cases, because of its white supremacist overtones. Say amen, lights. Again, this temptation is to do something wrong out of expedience, in order to benefit ourselves. This temptation, this bread alone ideology, listen, it will cause you to overlook racism and xenophobia and sexual assault and incompetence and nepotism and corruption. Why? Because the ideology of bread alone says, if you give me what I want, how I want it, and when I want it, I don't care who it harms, I just want what's mine. Listen, that's why some black people voted for Trump. They were seduced by bread alone. That's why so many poor whites voted for Trump. They were seduced by bread alone. But listen, the text teaches us that you can never trust slick and ungodly campaigns because the promises never come true. Amen. It's always bait and switch. And besides, haven't we seen this movie before? Trickle-down economics has never worked, and the only boats it has ever lifted has been yachts. Dinghies and rowboats need not apply. When industry and corporate America have operated on a bread alone mentality, it has always led to problems, fraud, abuse, and scandal. Listen, bread alone does not work. Bread alone is the source of greed. Bread alone is the source of economic injustice. Bread alone is profit without principles, earnings without ethics, money without morality, interest without integrity, wealth without worth. Bread alone caused Europeans to enslave Africans for 245 years. Bread alone caused corporations to cheat on their taxes. Bread alone caused Volkswagen to cheat on its emissions tests. Bread alone is the root of inequality. So Jesus says that one cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word, words like, when you reap your harvest on your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your entire harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. Every word, words like, you shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. Every word, words like, you shall not cheat in measuring length, weight, or quantity. You shall have honest balances and weights. Every word, words like, when you make a sale to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not cheat one another. Every word, words like, do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord pleads their cause. In other words, listen, people can't live by bread alone. We can't survive by bread alone. That's why we need the bread of life. That's why the songwriter penned these words, bread of heaven, feed me until I want no more. Listen, I don't know how you feel about it, but listen, I want more than just bread alone. I want more than the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I want more than bread alone. I want more than my physical needs met. I want my soul satisfied. I want more than a nice car to drive. I want a new destination. I want more than silver and gold. I want treasure that never runs out. I want more than bread alone. Listen, don't give me what I want. Give me what I need. Don't give me what I ask for, but God, give me what you promised. Don't change my circumstances. Change my attitude. Don't give me more stuff, but make me a new creature. Any way you bless me, Lord, I will be satisfied. Listen, I want more than bread alone. I want more love. I want more joy. I want more peace. I want more freedom. I want more than bread alone. Not my will, but thine will be done. Listen, I want more, God, of what you will for me. I want more of what you offer. I want more of your mercy. I want more of your grace. I want more of your power. I want more than bread alone. Listen, I want to go higher. I want to love better. I want to live better. I want to do better. I want more than bread alone. Amen. Listen, Jesus says, you shall not live by bread alone. Amen.